and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor at Valley Church. Catch up on recent messages and find out what's happening in the life of church by heading to valleychurch.eu or follow us on social media. Enjoy the message.
Well, it is good to have you all in the room, and we do wish you a happy new year. And I guess, like me, you have some interesting things coming up this year. The most interesting thing for Michelle and I is our son's getting married. Isn't that bizarre? I have a son who's old enough to get married. And there's lots of other interesting things going on, I'm sure. This Sunday is always a very peculiar Sunday to prepare a message for, because it's still Christmas. And I'm a great believer in making sure Christmas lasts as long as possible. But it's also the new year. So what I've attempted to do in my message is to make it both Christmassy and New Year-ish. So I'm actually going to carry on from where I left off in my last message, which was actually on the 13th of December, if you want to go back and listen to it. I was talking about the fact that wise men were seeking Jesus and seeking this brand new baby in the very first Christmas. But they needed a whole, as it were, entourage, a whole cast of people and equipment and things to help them get there, and saying, do you know, we have wise people in our worlds who are looking for the truth. They're looking for answers. They are looking for Jesus. And we have this amazing opportunity, each one of us, to help them discover the truth, to discover Jesus. And be it us be like a star, we guide and direct and shine and tell stories about Jesus, or whether we're the servants, the people that helped them, who cooked and carried burdens and just made a way for them, or whether we're like soldiers who, as it were, protected them and made a way for them to go forward safely. We have lots and lots of different roles. But before I begin, I just want to encourage you to do something. Perhaps you've never, ever done this before, but do you know, the very first Sunday in a brand new year is a great time to do it. Why don't you grab a notebook and a pen, or grab your phone? You see, I am believing for these next few minutes that some of the things that I say are not going to be my words, but they're going to be God's word directly to you, direct to your heart. And if you're in a room or you're watching this and you don't know Jesus, I'm believing that God's going to speak to you for the first time so that you can discover he's real, he loves you, this baby is still alive, Jesus is still alive, and he wants to meet with you and for you to make him your Lord and your Savior. And as you do that, he will become your friend as you become part of God's family. So why don't you go and grab a notebook or a pen or an iPad or something to take some notes so that you can note down the things that God is saying to you. While you do that, I'm going to pray again, and then we'll begin. Father, I thank you so much that you are with us. Father, I thank you that you long to speak to us and instruct us, to guide us, to bless us. You long that none will be lost from your kingdom. So Father, I pray for each one of us who know you. Help us to open our minds and our hearts to what you want to say to us right now in these next few moments. And for any who don't know, God, we pray that you would speak to them directly, that they would hear your voice, that they would sense your presence. And Father, they would say yes to beginning a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to really talk about the soldiers. So for those of you who weren't listening all those weeks ago, let's just read a few verses from Matthew chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. It says this: after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi, wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who's been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. These wise men had traveled hundreds, thousands of miles with a whole caravan trail of people helping them. And they arrived in Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel, and said, where's this king, this brand new baby that's been born? Jerusalem was rather perplexed because there was no babies. The present king, King Herod, was very annoyed because obviously that meant that his family weren't going to rule possibly. And so he was quite annoyed. But anyway, they said to the wise men that they would find this baby in Bethlehem. And the wise men did. And they found him and they gave gifts and they worshipped. And one of these things that the wise men would have had around them is some soldiers. All the great caravan trails of those days, because it was bandits, had soldiers. And soldiers had two main roles. the first role was to protect the flanks. They'd be kind of on horseback, they'd be kind of set back a few hundred yards, they'd be on the hills, they'd be monitoring the size of the caravan trail to make sure that no bandits could get close, and they'd have a system to watch each other in case one got taken out. It was their job to protect the caravan, to make the way safe. And I said a few weeks ago that we should try and make people's lives as safe as possible, as untroubled as possible, as they try and seek the truth about Jesus. But the other thing that they do is they went ahead. They'd be out there in the front, checking the territory, checking the ground they were about to go across to make sure there was no traps, there's no bandits, no anything. And I said that we as Christians, as good soldiers, helping people, wise people find the truth, we need to be in front of people, making a way safe so they could discover who Jesus was. Well, one or two said, well, I don't, what does that look like? What does that look like in real life? I get that's what soldiers do, but how do I do that practically for my family and the friends who are seeking, some who aren't yet seeking, but how do I protect the flanks? How do I make a way in front of them so they can find Jesus? And I want to try and answer that question. And so I really believe there's some really great teaching. It's why I want you to have your Bibles and notebooks and pens out. So I'm just three things. There's more I could say, but three things as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, how we help people find Jesus. The first thing is this. We need to realize that the battle begins and ends in the spiritual world. It begins and it ends in the spiritual world. It impacts the physical world that we live in, but it begins and ends in the spiritual world. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul teaches us and says this. It says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And then it says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's not against the people who lives in the physical realm that each one of us live in and see every day. It's not in that realm. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against rulers, against authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly realms. Paul says that the business that we are involved with as Christians, of helping people find Jesus, is primarily in the spiritual world. Yes, it does show itself in the present world, in attitudes and the way people live and how they think and what they say and what they do. It does, but the primary battle is in the spiritual world. And if you want to be a good soldier of Christ, you want to help people find Jesus, and I know you do if you love Jesus, we need to realize that the battle begins and ends in the spiritual world. And I need to let you know on this first Sunday of this brand new year of 2021 is that God's presence, his spirit, which exists in the spiritual world, is with you to help you and to guide you and to instruct you. John 14, Jesus says, before he goes, he says these words. John 14, verse 15, he says this, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Why? Because it's a spirit, it's from the spiritual world. And God says, I will send the Spirit of truth from the spiritual world. And then he'll say, but you will know him, and he will live with you and will be in you. And he says, I will not leave you. And then it goes on to say in John 14, verse 26 says, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said. See, we have already, if you love Jesus and he is your Lord and your Savior, the Spirit of God lives in you and he's working with your spirit, which also exists in the spiritual world. And together, actually, if we're really honest, it's like 99.9% God and maybe 0.001% of us. Together, we can engage in the spiritual world and actually make a way and keep people safe so that people can find Jesus. We can do it, but we have to realize it's important. Because if we don't, we won't engage in it. And I'll go on to explain how we engage in it in a second. But the first one says this, we have to engage in the spiritual world. We have to if we're going to make it. It's a real world. It's actually a world that will outlast, out, outlast the physical world that we live in. And it's in the spiritual world where people's eyes are opened and where they understand their need of Jesus. Again, Jesus says in John 16, verse 6, he says this. It says, verse 7, I tell you the truth, it is good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, listen to this, when he comes, God's Spirit, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. I.e., he will convict them that they have a need to believe in Jesus. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because they don't believe in judgment, that's why they need that revelation from God, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. You see, it's God's Spirit working in us and through us, which will help us to engage in the spiritual world, which will help us to be soldiers of Christ and help people be safe, and so we can make them away. And soldiers, Christians who understand this world will massively engage it. And in this world, perhaps you've never really engaged in the spiritual world. This is your year to do that. Now, the second thing about soldiers is this. And if you've ever watched any films or you've heard any stories, you know one of the things soldiers do, you don't sign up to be a soldier and then go straight out on the battlefield. What do you do first? Well, you go to school, you learn, you practice, you get ready for the battle, right? You would never send a raw recruit who knows nothing about guns or fighting or anything onto the battlefield because, they wouldn't last 5 seconds, right? Or get a soldier, stick him in a tank and say, go shoot people from the tank. He needs lots of training and understanding and practice how to shoot the darn thing, right? And that's the same as soldiers of Christ. We need to practice. And the second thing a good soldier does is he practices ready for the ongoing battle that's coming, so he is ready for when he has to engage. Now, I want to let you know you'll never feel perfectly ready. Even if you've been practicing straight away, you know, 2 or 3 months, next week, tomorrow, who knows when a spiritual battle you need to get engaged with will happen. You won't feel ready. The soldiers I've talked to never feel ready for that first battle. Their adrenaline's up. They wonder if they'll succeed. But the same for you when you engage. But if you practice, trust me, you'll be so much more ready than if you hope for the best and don't do anything. And Ephesians 6 goes on to explain to us the things that we need to do to be ready for this spiritual battle against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil. And Paul goes on to say this. I'm going to read it out to you, and then you need to have your pens out, type your fingers ready, because I'm going to mention 7 things really quickly for you to write down. It's in Scripture, so you can go back and reread it. But if you get there, get things. Ready? So I'm going to read it from verse 13, Ephesians 6. Therefore, Paul writes, put your full armor of God on, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Paul says, if you do these things, you will stand and you will win. Because the army that's left standing is going to win. Because they do. Because that means the other army's gone. Because if you're left standing, you've won the day. That's the way the battles used to be won in the old days. If you were there and the enemy had gone, you'd won. And Paul is saying, if you will do these things, you will enter the spiritual battle when you're called, and you will win. That's so important for your friends and your family and for people you don't know yet, so that they can find Jesus. And this is what good soldiers do. They say, I'm going to get prepared so when everything finishes, I will stand, and I will stand to the end, and I will win the battle. It says this. So after you've done everything, stand. It says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and keep on praying for all the saints. Paul mentions 7 things that you can practice. You ready? 7 things. I'm going to whisper in them. Number 1, know the truth. Know your Bible. Keep reading it. If you've never read this through, this is your year to read it all the way through. If you've read it through, do it again. One thing that I find so helpful in my discipline of reading is to read it every year as a discipline, and read it and study it as well. But know your Bibles. And remember, knowing your Bible takes time, but it has to begin somewhere. So start this year to do even more, studying the Bible so you might remember it. The second thing Paul says is to live righteously, to live right. To what does it say in verse 14? It says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Live right lives. Know your Bible. Do what the Bible says. Live right lives. I've met so many Christians that don't live right lives. As it were, give everything over to God's will and then follow what God's will is in your life, in every area of your life. Why? And that will protect you. And when you enter into the fight with the spiritual forces, it will keep you safe. Then he goes on and says this. He says, make sure you know the gospel story. What does he say? That you should fit your feet with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Know the gospel. Know what it means. Be able to tell somebody how they find Jesus, how that Jesus lived, how he died on their behalf because they'd sinned against God, they rebelled against God, and there was a punishment, and it was called death. But Jesus, God loved you so much that he decided that his son would take your place on the cross instead of you so that your mind punishment would be taken, so as it were, I could go free because Jesus had taken it. And then he came back to life 3 days later. Why? To prove to you and to me and to the whole world that death was not the end. There was more to life than death. There was life after death. And in him, he will give us resurrection life, and we can live with God forever. Be ready. Be ready to tell some of your story, how you met God, what happened. So when people ask, you're not flustered, but you're practiced and you're ready, you can share something of the gospel appropriately, quickly, 30 seconds, 1 minute. Nobody wants to listen to a half an hour message after they ask you a simple question. They want a quick answer. Be ready that you can practice talking about the gospel. The fourth thing that Paul says is make sure that you have faith, that you have a belief in God. Hebrews 2:12, verses 1 to 2 says, because we are surrounded by such a great host of witnesses, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Why does Paul say that? The writer of Hebrews say that. He said, if you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, your shield of faith will always be up because you'll always filter everything through looking at Jesus first. So let's keep our faith and let's practice it in all circumstances. Then he says, live in a position before God as children's God. He says this, take the helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. I'm saved. Who am I? Well, if you're a Christian, the first thing you are is you're a child of God. I'm a pastor. I'm a father. I've been a farmer. I'm lots of things, but I'm primarily a child of God. And when you stick that on your head, the first thing I am is child of God. You begin to live like you are a child of God. All of heaven is cheering on. God's your dad. You know, I often think when I'm scared, I'm worried. I don't need to worry. Why? Because my dad's behind me. And he's God. And he's the creator of the universe. He's all powerful. His spirit lives in me. I should be scared. He should be scared. But I'm all right. Why? Because I'm a child of the King. And the King is with me. His spirit and his power is with me. And it's true for each one of us. But we need to live in that and practice living in that. Keep putting the helmet of salvation on. And then he talks about praying in the spirit. That we should use the Bible in all circumstances. It's why we need to know the Bible. So when push comes to shove, we know what to do and what to say because we know the Bible well. And seventhly and finally, we need to pray often. Talk to God and listen to him. Spend some time with him on our own or with others, praying, hearing his voice and speaking to him. These seven things will get you ready for the spiritual battle that I know you want to engage with because you want your friends and your family to get to heaven. The third thing the soldier would do is this, is they would actively choose which battles they're going to fight. You say, that's a weird one. It's not really. If you think about soldiers, they have missions. They have specific tasks. No soldier is trying to protect the whole world or a whole country. It's protecting a certain sector or certain people. And it's the same with us. God has called us to reach certain people in our lives. Everybody that you know who doesn't know Jesus, it's your responsibility to help them find Jesus. It's not your responsibility to win the entire world for Jesus. It's not. It's somebody else's job to do that. But you are responsible and you are purposed and called to reach the people in your world that you know, your friends, your family, your work colleague. You are called to pray for them. You are called to engage in spiritual battle to help them find Jesus. But limit it to those. Limit to those. Make sure you have a purpose. I'm going to pray for these people. Engage in the spiritual world on their behalf. Pray for them. Pray for them often. Pray that God's Spirit would open their eyes. As it said in John chapter 16, that they would understand they need a Savior because they are sinful. They would understand there is judgment. That their eyes that are closed, that they would be open. And they go, I didn't realize this, but I realize there is a God. I realize I do need to do something about that. Pray. Pray against the enemy. Pray that the enemy would not take thoughts away, would not take questions away. There's so many people in the world never ask the basic questions. Why are we here? What's the point of life? Is there life after death? It's like they don't even think about it. But these are huge questions. Pray, pray that people around you would ask those questions so you get a chance to answer them through what you have discovered. And pray often. Pray often. I pray many times a week that people would find Jesus. I have friends and family I'm praying for, and I pray many times a week that they would find Jesus. That I pray often. The Bible talks about a persistent widow who comes to a man. She just wants some bread. She just wants some bread. And she's persistent. She keeps asking and asking and asking. And eventually the guy gives him bread. And Jesus said, be persistent in your prayer. God will answer your prayer. We don't know why. He heard us the first time. But the Bible says we need to be persistent in our prayer. So let's be persistent. And pray specifically for specific people, specific circumstances. You know, perhaps somebody's going through a hard time, you say, God, I pray that today, tomorrow, you may open his eyes that I may get a chance to pray for them or share something or invite them into church. Secondly, make sure that you created time in your life to connect with them, to engage in their lives. Pray. Make sure you have time to engage with them in their lives, to practically help and love them. It's no point if you're a soldier if you're so busy doing lots of other things that you don't have time to do the soldiering for the people that God has purposed and called for you to reach. You need to have time. You need to create time in your life to make sure that you can practically help them, that you can take the opportunity to share with them, that you can go out for a coffee with them if they want to chat, or you can take them out for a meal. And if they decide to follow Jesus, you have time to actually be a friend, to disciple them in the process. You have to create some time. And also, you need to remember this as a soldier. Soldiering will inconvenience your life. And as you engage in the spiritual battle, which impacts the physical world that you live in, it will inconvenience you. It just will. People are an inconvenience and can be. But you need to rejoice when people who don't know Jesus inconvenience your life. Why? Because they are looking for a Savior that you know. And you've been praying for this moment to be inconvenienced. It'll inconvenience your work life, possibly in your family life. But rejoice when this happens. Understand this. And perhaps this is what God wants to say to you today. Understand this. Heaven and hell is real. If somebody's not going to heaven, they're going to hell. There isn't an in-between state, a place for them to go. One time set in history, there will be a judgment, the Bible teaches us. And God will take the whole population and divide them into sheep and goats. And those who haven't decided to follow Jesus, because he's the only way to the Father, they'll be goats and they'll go to hell. The sheep, those who decide to follow Jesus, will go to heaven. And it's real. It's why I rejoice when people who don't know Jesus inconvenience me, because I know they're looking and I long, and I hope you long, and if not, ask God to soften your heart, that you would long, that many in your world who don't know Jesus yet, that God has purposed and called you to reach, that they would know him, that they would inconvenience you, and you go, it's okay, I know at this moment, I might change your eternal destiny. And there is nothing, church, nothing more important than people's eternal destinies being changed. There just isn't. It's indescribable. If you believe this, that there is a heaven and there is a hell, it, This is what falls. You suddenly grasp the fact that earth is just a very, very temporary thing. But eternity in heaven is such a long time. And yes, it inconveniences us for a moment. But we pray and hope that that inconvenience will help them be in eternity with us forever. That's just a wow and so worth it. It's why, and if you're young and listen to this, and as we're preparing, I just want to share this. Make sure you marry a believing husband or wife. Why? Because they need to be okay with you being inconvenienced. Because they'll rejoice and go, no, you go and do it. Wow. Such a joy to go and be inconvenienced so people can discover that Jesus loves them and Jesus died for them and Jesus has made a way for them to live with eternity with him. Well, I hope you've got some of my passion about why we should be good soldiers. I hope this maybe inspire you to go and change some things or get practicing or do something to engage in the spiritual battle that God will help you to stand and be victorious in. I am praying, church, that this year, that as you stand for Jesus, as you are a good soldier, that God will use you. I'm believing for so many of you, if you will engage with what I've just shared, that God will do incredible things through you, that you will see people find Jesus like never, ever before, that the Spirit of God that God is placing you, that will begin to rise up and you will sense God's presence like never before, and he will release new and brand new gifts in your life. But let's all of us remember, the first thing that we are called to do this year in 2021 is to be on mission for Jesus. And his mission was simple. Go and make disciples. Go and tell the world about me and go and make disciples. Let's go and be soldiers. Let's go and take the patch of ground that God's taken us to go take. Let's pray for it. Let's believe for it. Let's engage, knowing as we do that together that God will do something significant through each and every one of us. Father, I thank you that you've given each one of us purpose, each one of us a mission, each one of us you have called and equipped so that we may stand and win. So God, I pray, help each one of us to engage in the spiritual battle. Help each one of us to train. Help each one of us to give the time to be inconvenienced so that others can find Jesus and have their eternal destiny changed. Father, I'm praying this year that it may be the most amazing year ever of people finding Jesus and people realizing they don't need anybody else but them and God to make it happen. Yes, the whole of church will be praying for them and supporting them and being with them and we'll put all the services on everything we can do. But may each one of us realize that me plus God is enough. And then the rest of church can help us to disciple all the brand new believers that we get. So Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. If you've been impacted by it and would like to respond by choosing to follow Jesus, we'd love to help you to do that. One of our pastors would love to be in touch with you. Why not email response@valleychurch.eu or head to valleychurch.eu/next-steps to discover more. We're so excited for your future. Be blessed.